Well, good morning and welcome to our service here this morning. We're starting a few minutes late. We had a last minute little technical glitch. Hopefully we're okay now. And thank you for joining us, whether you're watching with us live or spending some time during your week to set aside some time just to reflect, to be together in these strange days. Please do share some thoughts and reflections. It's been great having emails this week. Claire's had lots of responses to her sermon last week, and it's really helpful to see how what we say or what Claire reflects on impacts our church community. So please do reflect either in the comments box or email the church or my email address. It's great just to have that interaction with you. And also our podcast is available on Monday. We really encourage just to share a little bit more in a little different way, a more of a chatty way. So hopefully you've found that if you're used to listening to podcasts. You can visit our church website. There's a prayer wall, just a way to put short reflections. The idea is these little short prayers that just offer some sort of revelation and inspiration to others. Also, it's coming up to Easter. Our Little Gardens of Hope competition is going on. We've had a number of people contact us about making gardens. Hopefully you've seen it, the video, you've got a leaflet. We'd love just to do that with you. And there's Easter eggs as the prize, so there's a prize involved. So please do put some effort and energy into that. I got all my dates mixed up last week. It's our normal Zoom prayer meeting tonight at 8 o'clock. And then next week we're gathering with all the Baptist churches on Sunday evening. So those details will be in the link next week. Well, we're going to hand over to Sarah and the team as they open our service with sung worship. So hand over to Sarah.
Hello and good morning, everyone.
Angels adore thee, all veiling their sight.
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. We do hope you've all had a good week, and for those of you in school, that you are settling back into a workable routine. Clive, what's the matter with you? Have you lost something? Well, what have you lost? Can I help you find it? You can't find the present. Oh, I didn't know you had a present. I can't see anything. How big is it? You don't know. But you think it will be really big. Well, where did it come from? Who is it for? It's from God. We're looking for a present from God. And Martin said that today was all about God's present. It's something infinite. And that means it's really big. But you can't see it. Oh, Clive, I don't think that's what Martin meant. Martin's talk today is about God being present. That means that he is present with us. He is here with us now. He is so great that he is with us now, and also with those who went before, and also with those who have still to come. He is not limited by space or time. He is greater than space and greater than time because he made those things. He's not bound by them. He was before the beginning of the world, and he will be for all eternity. That's impossible to imagine. I agree. It's very difficult for our minds to understand something that is so huge and so vast. If God is so big, why would he want to be with us here and now? There must be better places to be than in the middle of a pandemic. God is with us here and now because he loves us. He loves to spend time with us, each one of us. And he wants us to recognise his presence with us, and for us to spend time with him and to love him in return. So there's definitely no present. No, not something that you can see. But God's presence with us is a present to us. It's a gift. When Jesus went back to heaven to be with his Father, he said that he would send us a gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us and comforts us when we feel sad. He shows us the way to live our lives in a way that pleases God and brings him glory. If God is infinite, then his presence will always be with us. That's right. It's a present of his presence that never runs out. That's a gift worth having, even if you can't see it. Yes. If he is present now, do I think he would like a present? Well, what had you in mind? You could give him some of your cake. That's very generous. But I think it's your love and your company that he would like more. In that case, you'll eat the cake yourself. But you'll talk to him while you do it. And can we do it now? Yes, we can. But we'll say goodbye first. And we hope that you will experience something of God's presence with you in the week ahead, whatever you do and wherever you are. But for now, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from Clive. And we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
I'd like to read you a Chinese parable written in Max Lucado's book, Begin Again. It's a famous story translated and retold by many, but this is Max's translation. Once there was an old man who lived in a tiny village. Although poor, he was envied by all, for he owned a beautiful white horse. Even the king coveted this treasure. A horse like this had never been seen before. Such was its splendour, its majesty and its strength. People would offer a fabulous price for the horse, but the old man always refused. "This horse is not a horse to me," he would tell them. "It's a person. How can I sell a person? He's a friend, not a possession. How could I ever sell a friend?" The man was poor, and the temptation was great, but he never sold that horse. One morning he found that the horse was not in its stable. All the village came out to see. "You old fool," they scoffed. "We told you someone would steal that horse. We warned you you would be robbed. You're so poor. How could you ever hope to protect such a valuable animal? It would have been better for you to have sold him. You could have gotten whatever price you wanted. No amount would have been too high. Now the horse is gone and you've been cursed with misfortune." The old man responded, "Don't speak too quick. Say only that the horse is not in the stable. That's all we know. The rest is judgment. If I've been cursed or not, how can you know? How can you judge?" The people contested, "Don't make us out to be fools. We may not be philosophers, but great philosophy is not needed. The simple fact is that your horse is gone and it's a curse." The old man spoke again, "All I know is that the stable is empty and the horse is gone. The rest, I don't know. Whether it's a curse or a blessing, I can't say. All we can see is a fragment. Who can say what will come next?" The people in the village laughed. They thought the man was crazy. They always thought he was a fool. If he wasn't, he would have sold that horse and lived off the money. But instead, he was just a poor woodcutter. An old man still cutting firewood and dragging it out to the forest and selling it. He lived hand to mouth in the misery of poverty. Now he had proven that he was indeed a fool. After 15 days, the horse returned. He hadn't been stolen. He'd run away into the forest. Not only had he returned, he had brought a dozen wild horses with him. Once again, the village gathered around the woodcutter and spoke, "Old man, you are right, and we were wrong. What we thought was a curse was a blessing. Please forgive us." The man responded, "Once again, you go too far. Say only that the horse is back. State only that a dozen horses returned with him. But don't judge. How do you know if this is a blessing or not? You only see a fragment. Unless you know the whole story, how can you judge? You read only one page in the book. Can you judge the whole book? Can you read only one word in a phrase? Can you understand the entire phrase? Life is so vast, yet you judge all of life with one page or one word. All you have is a fragment. Don't say that this is a blessing. No one knows. I am content with what I know. I am not perturbed by what I don't." "Maybe the old man is right," they said to one another. So they said little. But down deep, they knew he was wrong. They knew it was a blessing. 12 wild horses has returned with one horse. With a little bit of work, the animals could be broken and trained and sold for so much money. Now, the old man had a son, an only son. The young man began to break the wild horses in. After a few days, he fell from one of the horses and broke both his legs. Once again, the villagers gathered around the old man and cast their judgments. "You were right," they said. "You proved you were right. The dozen horses were not a blessing. They were a curse. Your only son has broken his legs, and now in your old age you have no one to help you. Now you are poorer than ever." The old man spoke again. "You people are obsessed with judging. Don't go so far. Say only that my son has broken his legs. Who knows if it's a blessing or a curse? No one knows. We only have a fragment. Life comes in fragments." It so happened that a few weeks later, the country engaged in a war against a neighbouring country. All the young men in the village were required to join the army. Only the son of the old man was excluded because he was injured. Once again, the people gathered around the old man, crying and screaming because their sons had been taken. There was little chance that they would ever return. The enemy was strong and the war would be a losing struggle. They would never see their sons again. "You were right, old man," they wept. "God knows you were right. This proves it. Your son's accident was a blessing. His legs may be broken, but at least he is with you. Our sons are gone forever." The old man spoke again. "It is impossible to talk with you. You always draw conclusions. No one knows. Say only this. Your sons had to go to war and mine did not. No one knows if it's a blessing or a curse. No one is wise enough to know. Only God knows."
Well, I wonder if you've heard that story before. Maybe you've heard a different version. I think there are a number of different versions out there. And as you've listened to it, maybe other stories come to mind. Maybe the book of Job, there's elements that might spring to your forefront. The Chinese parable tells a very human story. The old man was right. We see only a small fragment of life's stories. God, the Creator, is above and beyond the mountain range that we live our lives, the highs and the lows that we go through on a daily, weekly, hourly occurrence. We don't see the whole story. And it's true to say that we're not meant to see the whole story either. There's a foolishness in us that passes judgment on life's storms, drawing conclusions of God's blessings or God's curses. We can be so quick to want elevation from discomfort, that we can read God into every circumstance or coincidence. Although this parable highlights our human condition, it also contrasts to God's nature. He sees the world beyond the baggage of time or passing of misguided judgments. God is beyond jumping from blessing to curse, blessing to curse. He sees this world like no one else. God is infinite. It's very hard for us to get our heads around being beyond time. If you're beyond time, then this linear way of thinking doesn't really fit. Our days are limited and we cannot comprehend a world outside of the ticking clock or the countdown on your phone. Time is so ingrained in us that it's impossible, really, if we're honest, to think of infinity outside of time. It just starts messing with your head. I was reminded of the film Claire was talking about, Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I was reminded of The Lord of the Rings, Bilbo at the end. When age catches up to him, the ring's power, he'd lost it a while ago, and what he did look young for so long, then ages, and he says this, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." We can become sort of stretched, but God is not. He won't be spread over too much bread. He won't be spread over too much of the world, no matter how big the population grows. There's no limit to God's infinite capacity to love us. Our best frame of reference for infinite might be space, looking out into the universe. Seems to stretch forever and ever. As far as we know, it keeps on going. Claire and I last night, we got Toby's old telescope out and we were trying to look at the moon and stars. It feels like it can go on for an infinite amount of time. Stars stretching out. Or maybe you found yourself in a low light area looking up and suddenly more stars are revealed to you than you'd ever seen before. If you spend long enough without light, you can see more and more. God's infinite nature is reflected in Scripture. Steve the Martyr says in Acts 7, "However, the Most High does not live in a house made by men." He references the prophets that says, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be?" How can we contain that which is beyond containers, beyond time, our capacity to understand? However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. We try our best to build things that might contain God's nature. If you've stood inside a large cathedral or a big temple, you'll see some of humans' best efforts to contain the impossible, because it's impossible to represent the infinite nature of God. My words are far too short, far too weak to comprehend or communicate this element of God's nature. John wrote in the book of Revelation, a book that seems to bridge some of this looking beyond our worlds to something heavenly, something beyond our understanding. He says, "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under their wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" It goes on to say in Revelation 4, "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and worship him with their lives forever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I think I've got my references a little bit mixed up there. But this idea that in the book of Revelations, we try and put into words something of God's infinite nature. Those words are often confusing and difficult to translate. God lives in the forever when we live in the constraints of time. Depending on your age, you will feel this less or more than others. I wonder if you might feel like butter spread a little bit too thin. God is infinite, but God is present, omnipresent, if we want to use the fancy word. I, like all of us, can only be in one place at one time. It's our lot in life, unless maybe you're on your phone or you're on Zoom. But even then, you can't really be present in two places. You're either texting on your phone or talking to the person in front of you. We all might be contactable 24/7, but we're not omnipresent. God's presence isn't limited to the space that we inhabit. God, like a good mobile phone signal, is present in every room of the house, unless you're with Virgin Media in Shelford, I speak from experience. God isn't limited to thick walls or misplaced phone masts. Poetically, Isaiah encourages us that whatever we may face, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn out. God promises to be present in all the challenges of this life. God is present with us when our horse runs away, when the horse returns, when we face trials, when we face great joys. His presence is never far from us, even when we're in the lowest of places. Whatever we face in life, God says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. We can't be deserted by God. He will always be present with us in this world. In our fleeting world, our changing world, there's a constant ever-presence. More secure than stocks and shares, more relevant than the daily newspaper, more powerful than the world's superpowers, more loving than a parent, more gracious than we could ever imagine, more overflowing with love than we could ever comprehend. An ever-present, eternal force, holding the fabric of our world together, who stands alongside us in times of joy and pain, who from an infinite perspective sees the reality of life's challenges. God is already present with us. What is absent often is our awareness of it. God is present, but are we aware? It's not something that we can attain through our efforts and energy. It's already all around us. God's presence is present in this world. It's not dependent on our success or our endeavors. There's no running away from his presence, neither in time nor in space. These are my limited words at expressing the infinite omnipresence of God. As we finish, I'd like to spend a few moments just reflecting, acknowledging that God is already with us. We, however, need to make ourselves aware of his presence. Before Sarah leads us in worship, we're just going to have 2 or 3 minutes. There's some scripture and some words on the screen, and we're going to use this as a time just to reflect, to pray, to think about how God is present with us in this world. Thanks, Toby. Thank you.
Going to close our service, I'm going to draw together some of the prayers that people have put online and pray for us as a church community. Lord God, we lift up David and Ingrid to you in these days. Thank you for Eric's arrival and for him being with them at this time. Lord God, I pray that David would know your peace in his discomfort and Ingrid would know the loving arms of God. God, we pray for those who are struggling still with separation. As we reach a year since the lockdown, pray comfort to all those who still grieve or live with the consequences of illness. Lord God, I thank you for our church community
as we endeavour to learn together, grow together, to be changed and transformed together, I pray that you would be present with us. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Just to say, church members, there's a church meeting tomorrow night. You should have already received your agendas and all the information for that. If you have any issues, please do contact the church office and we'll endeavour to get that to you. So that's a church meeting and a special church meeting as we talk about the building project. But let me say the grace this morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen. God bless. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Chris Smith is going to be speaking to us, so we look forward to sharing that day with you. Take care and God bless.